Really tasty guitar work on that song. That's Quicksilver Messenger Service, and it's an end time song. Mystery Babylon, burning with great fire. Boy, are we looking forward to that day or what, Pastor Steve?
New York City.
Yeah. Up in flames. I can see it, Pastor. I can see it.
Didn't Cheech and Chong do a movie about that? Up in Smoke?
Oh, really? I didn't see that one, so I don't know if you're joking or not. Okay. Oh, but welcome, man. Ladies and gentlemen. This is Yahweh's Covenant People here on Eurofolk Radio. And tonight we're going to do part two of the Theological Principles of Christian Identity. And we're going to start with number seven. We left off just with that particular item out of the 20. And
we got a little piece of it. We're just going to do verse 7 all the way over again.
Yeah, we'll just do it over. And I'll just go ahead and post the link to the article in the chat room here. Okay, I see Why Am I Thus is there. I'm in there, and we're waiting for other people to join in the festivities here. And so let's go for it. Here we go. Number seven, Christian identity understands the Jewish people to be of non-Shemitic descent and of two non-Israelite lineages. One, Sephardic Jews of Canaanite Edomite descent, and two, Ashkenazi Jews of mixed Japhethite Mongol Hittite descent. Okay, let's just stop right there. First of all, let me just let everybody know, and I haven't had a chance to post it on the front page of Eurofolk Radio yet, but the Barnes Review published a rebuttal article I did to one of their articles. The Barnes Review is primarily a white nationalist, non-Bible-believing organization. However, they are open-minded. At least they have become very much open-minded toward the
argument. Become more open-eyed.
Right.
Eli's been prying her eyes up, and he took his crowbar over and started working on them.
Right. And basically, they published an article which pretty much has the same secular academic viewpoint that the Bible is bunk, all right? And so one of their authors speculated that the Jews emanated from Parthia. And I said, no, the Bible isn't bunk. Modern archaeology proves that the Bible is true. The pathway that the Israelites took from Goshen to the Sea of Reeds has been firmly established by archaeology. Archaeology has proven that the Israelites took over Canaan land and the worship of Yahweh substituted the worship of various Canaanite gods, etc., etc. We talked, I think, the last couple of shows about the seals of Zedekiah being discovered, the seal of David being discovered. All these people are real, the Bible is true, and every atheist a liar.
Okay. Hezekiah.
Okay, and so I basically said all that, and they published it, right? And to my knowledge, it's the first time that the Barnes Review has published a Christian identity article since they published, the American Free Press published Pastor Emery's article on the billions for the bankers and debts for the people, okay? So this is, and I have to thank Andrew Carrington Hitchcock for his regular work with the staff at the Barnes Review and with the people over at the American Free Press for establishing contact for me. And because if it weren't for his groundbreaking work with them and doing all the interviews he does on his radio show, they probably never would have considered my article. So it's really great that they have done so, and hopefully they'll open their editorial pages to more Christian identity type material. Okay. So.
Yeah, a little courtesy goes a long way, doesn't
that's
it?
That's right. Absolute courtesy. Right? Total respect for their perspective and just in a scholarly way, you know, debunked what their previous author had to say, you know, on that subject. So, getting back to number seven. And this is really good news, folks. Really good news that, you know, we're making friends with the people at the Barnes Review. Okay.
Well, Yahweh is gathering his remnant.
Yes, he is. So, number one.
His time schedule.
That's right. Right. The Sephardic Jews of Canaanite Edomite descent. So, would you care to go ahead and to explain to the listening audience who the Sephardic Jews are?
Well, the Sephardim are actual Edomites, and they have a link. They're the Spanish Jews, okay?
Okay.
They actually have a link to the Holy Land. The Ashkenazi have no link to the Holy Land except a roundabout backdoor thing through the Hittites. Because okay. They have Hittite bloodline in them.
Right.
But they don't have any of the seed of Abraham other than all the way back to Canaan, where he was cursed. Nowhere do they have the Israelite bloodline.
Okay, not even through...
Neither do the Sephardim. Because they were the Talmud worshiping Hittites, Edomites, because Edom married into the Hittite tribe and never had any pure Israelite progeny.
Right.
So the Sephardim only have a tenuous link to the Holy Land.
And that's just by
place,
not by race.
They have never been Israelites.
Yeah.
They have always been mixed seed, and now they are more mixed. They have blended with the Ashkenaz, and the Ashkenaz are 90% plus from the Khazars of modern Jewry. They comprise the most of modern Jewry,
right?
And they're not even remotely connected to Israel.
Yeah, neither genetically, ethnically, nor even historically.
No, they were not territorial.
Mm-hmm.
Territorially connected. They were over in basically the Khazars were in the steppes of Russia. They were a pagan tribe, and the Tsar said, you will adopt some form of religion to calm your people down, because those were the ones that used to throw the babies in the wolf pits, okay. Let the wolves tear them apart.
Yeah, for sport.
Well, the Tsar said, if you don't straighten up, I'm bringing in the Cossacks.
Right.
This was way, way back when the Cossacks were the bad boys on the block.
Right.
They were the meanest, mm-hmm. fiercest warriors walking. They were bad to the bone. And when they threatened them with the Cossacks, if the Cossacks would have come in, they would have wiped them out.
Right. Okay.
So
the Ashkenazim have no connection whatsoever, either historically, ethnically, or whatever, to ancient Israel, or modern Israel for that matter, because we are Israel, the Jews are not. But the Sephardics at least have a place connection. They were neighbors. The Edomites had their own country called Idumea,
yeah,
which was to the south of Judah in the days when Israel and Judah, I'm sorry.
They occupied the hill country of Mount Seir.
Right. So they
border on the land of Yehuda.
Right. They were neighbors in the sense that their countries bordered each other, and that's it.
But never friends.
Never friends. Absolutely. In fact, enemies throughout history, still true today. the Edomites and true Israel are still blood enemies today. It's a blood feud declared by Yahweh in Genesis 3:15. The Jews know it, but the vast majority of our own people do not understand that this blood feud is still in effect. Okay? So neither one of these two groups has any Israelite blood. The only Israelite blood, the Sephardim, in fact, it's not even Israelite blood because Esau was Jacob's brother, which right. means that Esau
and
is not.
And the line ended right there with that right. mixture.
That's it. It ended right there. Okay? So these Jews, whether Sephardic or Ashkenazi, have zero Israelite blood. Okay? That's the point we were trying to make here. They have zero Israelite blood. Okay? Since the Jewish people are neither Shemites, Hebrews, nor Israelites, they have no right, since they are not the true descendants of the biblical Shemites, to be in Palestine and should give Palestine back to its rightful owners, the Palestinian people. Now, I know when this was composed way back around 2003, it's a little more complicated than this, but because we, true Israel, are actually the real owners of that territory. When the Brits assumed control of it, the Brits being part of the House of Judah in the modern era, they're the ones who liberated the Jerusalem from Turkish control, not the Jews. All right? So it really belongs to us, but the British Mandate, as it was called, was given up by, I think it was George V, I forget which number, and he simply gave it over to the Jews, which was...
Boy George.
Yeah, right. Which was a really bad move, which created this awful mess we have
today. We are in dispersion, and we're not supposed to even be over there.
Right, right.
So we will get it back when Yeshua returns, and it won't be a wasteland like it is right now.
Yes.
Where they have to desalinize seawater and pump it in.
Right.
It'll be a garden land again. Yahweh will change all of that.
Yes, yes.
All right. That will be our land again.
Yes,
but
amen.
New Jerusalem, with the massive dimensions of it, for all the Israelites that ever lived, the ones that made it, will probably be here in North America because we are the only ones that match the description in Revelations.
Yeah, and
of the land, and the land mass won't fit anyplace else.
Right, right.
And the city is just going to be huge, and it wouldn't even fit in Palestine.
Of course not, yeah. The Isaiah chapters that deal with the prophetic America talk about our land having being crisscrossed by major rivers and having an eastern sea and a western sea. And that's not true of Palestine in any way, shape, or form, okay? So, and of course, the King James translators did not know what to do with those prophecies because they, you know, how could they even imagine that Isaiah was looking at America when he wrote those lines, right? They just couldn't imagine it. So, you know, they did the best they could with that translation. But actually, Bertrand Comparé did an outstanding study on the America chapters of the book of Isaiah. You know, and that's something we can pick up on at some future date. Okay. All right, so continuing here. Again, we're teaching the theological principles of Christian identity. The last sentence of number 7 here. Judaism has a historical record of claiming that the terms Israel and Jewry are equivalent or identical. CI teaches that this claim is both historically false and theologically untenable. Okay, so we just kind of discussed the racial composition of the Jews versus true Israel. What about theologically? What's different about Judaism versus the, you know, the true Israel religion, Mosaism, and etc.?
They are forbidden to use the name Yahweh. They do not use the Torah. They say they do, but they lie because they're the children of the father of lies.
Yes.
They use the Babylonian Talmud with all the attendant sun worship and Baal worship and the man-made doctrines. it reviles Yeshua Messiah and has him boiling in excrement. And I mean, it's just a satanic book.
Right.
And that, pardon the term, trumps the scripture for them. They don't use the scripture. They use the Talmud. They think Yahweh asks a rabbi for advice on things. I mean, they are the serpent seed line. Everything is so twisted, and most of them don't even know it. The rabbis, the rulers, they know it, but especially the Orthodox.
Yes.
And that's a nasty crowd.
Yes, they are.
And yeah, the average Jew on the street, they're dumber than a box of rocks.
Right. That's right.
Not meaning to insult perfectly good rocks.
Right.
And they just follow their blind followers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are told, just like the Judeo-Christians, they mirror Judeo-Christianity. Whatever that guy up there in the pulpit says, well, they just go right along with it.
Right. Right.
And the same thing they say, I saw it on TV, and it's got to be true if it was on the TV.
Right.
And oh, please.
Yeah.
They are fodder.
Yes.
The rabbinical class has used the common Jew as fodder. They mm-hmm. kill their own. They use them to make a statement and then say, I the Holocaust, the right. Holocaust. We're being persecuted. My suffering. Oh, my suffering. I'm suffering so much.
Yes, yes. I'm so getting so tired of hearing about their suffering.
Well, I'd like to make them really suffer.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, you've been faking it for so long. Fake suffering now.
Yeah, right. Well, not real suffering.
They real suffering now. It's coming. It's coming.
Yes.
But
we can taste it.
We are so different in CI from all these other denominations. We stress keeping the feast days because it's a commandment.
That's right.
We stress racial purity because it's a commandment. We use the holy name of Yahweh. Not the Lord or Baal or any of the others. We use the holy name of Yeshua. A lot of the preachers will still use Jesus for the new people so they can connect. We have to make what we teach user-friendly for the new people that are waking up. We don't want to give them gazillions of megabytes of information and run them off. Oh, yes. Man, I can't handle all this. Well, no, we right. want them to handle it, so we have to take it slow and easy. We go back over subjects and repeat them. We are gathering the remnant, which is diametrically opposed to Judaism and Judeo-Christianity, which is scattering the remnant.
That's right. That's right.
We are in the remnant gathering, harvesting business. Because we are the true worshipers. And none of these others compare. They just don't. Yeah. They don't meet the standards in the scriptures.
Yeah, yeah. They teach false theology throughout their entire program and hardly ever approach
the
truth.
Well, they're antinomian. All the laws are nailed to the cross. We don't have to do any of that anymore. Okay.
Yeah, they don't keep the feast days, and many of them say that the Sabbath is unnecessary, too. However, they practice that because of the collection plate, right?
It's a day of sun worship.
Yes,
and when they have their sun pillar on top of their church called a steeple,
right?
They are sun worshipers, which is what Judaism is. It's Babylonian sun worship.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay, so let's go on to the next one here, number 8. CI regards Zionism as a fraudulent theology for the same reasons as given in item 7. The real reason why organized Jewry hates our movement is because we can prove that their historical and religious claims to ancient Israel are fictitious. And I would simply
they will never debate Shiite pastor. Never.
Yeah. This is when the mudslinging, the name-calling, and, the romp'em, stomp'em, flap your wings, and breathe fire. Don't ever allow a CI pastor to debate a rabbi in public. That would be disastrous.
You're a Nazi. Nazi.
You can't listen to a Nazi, can you? You can't listen to a Holocaust denier, can you? No, those people are crazy. They're a cult.
Yeah.
That's the reaction.
Can they deny that the 6 million was killed by these Nazis?
Right?
The Nazis are back. Oi!
Yes. There's going to be another Holocaust. Well, yes, there will. A real Holocaust this time.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. When Yeshua comes back in flaming fire, they're not even going to bother with the ovens. They'll roast them right out in the middle of the street.
Right? It's going to be, what do you call it, a barbecue, right? An open pit barbecue.
Yeah.
All right. So we're in the days, because I know your wake-up call last night stressed the brotherly love among us, okay? And we have fun with the Jews and exposing their hypocrisy and lies and everything, all the evil things they do. Yet we have to fall back when it comes to our racial brethren. We have to fall back on brotherly love. And we have to kind of grin and bear it.
Love thy neighbor, in other words, thy racial kindred, as thyself.
Yeah, not racial.
Bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. Says that in the New Testament.
Right.
Bear each other's burdens. Yeah. If one is weak and one is strong, the strong helps the weak.
Yes. So we have to
walk in the walk instead of talking the talk. It's not a lip. CI is not to be a lip service denomination because we're not a denomination at all. Denomination brings in man's doctrine and shoves it down people's throats. We don't want to shove anything down their throats. We want to lead them to the Bible scriptures and they can read it for themselves. They can think. They can form their own opinions and ask questions.
Yes.
How do you ask the right questions when you don't know what questions to ask?
Yes. We have to be patient just as we have been patient with the Barnes Review. We cannot...
somebody was patient with us when they explained it to
us. That's right.
I was told the truth. Now I've been carrying it on for years. Once you hear the truth and you accept Yeshua as Messiah and try to obey his laws that he explained the Torah so well, it's your duty to pass it on. And if you really have him in your heart, you're not going to have to be prompted to do it. You're going to want to do it because the Holy Spirit is indwelling. And if you don't want to do it and you shy away from it, then you got a problem with spiritual truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're in a stage where the power of the holy people, that is us, true Israel, our power has been scattered, even though we once ruled this planet through our colonial empires. But all that has disappeared as part of the prophecy. Again, the fulfillment of prophecy in the book of Revelation that the mystery Babylon would overthrow the power of the holy people and for a short period of time, prophetically speaking, the last couple hundred years, we're talking about 1815 to the judgment day, Esau Edom would to have dominion over Jacob as prophesied by Isaac way back in Genesis. I think it was Genesis chapter 27.
And a cruel master he has been.
Oh, man, very cruel. Yes.
Murderous.
There's no brotherly love existing in Esau Edom. None whatsoever. Okay, so that's what we're dealing with, folks. We're dealing with an absolutely ruthless enemy who has no sympathy or compassion, even as you brought out earlier, even with its own kind. They will kill each other to make a point or to, create a false flag.
They want to have numbers.
Yes.
And show dead bodies because it's more convincing in their media, which they own totally.
Yes. And since they can control the content of the media, they will, continue. They will never let go of that power. Never. It'll have to be taken away from them. And at this point, I think only Yahshua will be able to do that. Only Yahshua.
Well, they're still touting that story about the car running down people at Parliament over there and the guy stabbing the cop.
Uh-huh.
That was proven to be a false flag, was it not?
Okay, yeah.
They are still touting that as true.
Uh-huh.
Over and over and over and over.
Right. So who?
And
did
I saw this thing in Manchester. I looked at the videos, and all they had on the videos that the news presented was a whole bunch of race-mixed people. They didn't show any real white people. The mother of the girl who was crying and all that stuff, she was loaded with tattoos. The dad was loaded with tattoos.
So sympathy for the libtard.
And they got the picture of the Muslim and the old Jewess.
Uh-huh.
She's sitting down and the Muslim's praying with her.
Right.
And I posted a comment on the net. I said, boy, they sure got a good side shot of the beak on that old Jewess.
Right. So it was a sympathy attack. Now, not to say that people didn't die, but the whole point was to create sympathy for the libtards and the Muslims.
Yeah, it was an orchestrated event.
Orchestrated.
Well, look at 911. People died at 911, and that was an orchestrated event.
Right.
Oklahoma City, that was orchestrated to pass laws here.
Yeah. It's interesting.
To infringe on our freedoms further.
That's right. It's
so
interesting.
They're perfectly willing to sacrifice people. They sacrificed a bunch of their own during World War II. The Jews that controlled the Brits had them bomb the civilian population centers, which the Germans did not do. They avoided the population centers and went for the industry.
Right.
They fought a real honorable war.
Right.
And
Hitler,
Churchill, the alcoholic Jew drunk.
Degenerate.
Right. He was in debt up to his eyeballs. They paid off his debt.
The Jews did,
put him in power, and he orchestrated all this unlawful violence against the German people. You're going to fight an army, you fight the army. You don't fight women and children.
Yeah. Well, that's,
and bomb schools and stuff like that.
That's the historical record of the British Empire under Jewish control. Because Disraeli did that.
The District of London, the Bank of England, in that little district within a city within a city, controls it all, and they control our finances over here as well, because that's the Rothschilds' home, and they run all the world banks. Everybody obeys them, or they have an unfortunate accident.
Yes. That's the way it works. Amen. Amen. So all of these false flags, this is what I would call a sympathy attack. It was a deliberate attack staged to create sympathy for Muslims that have already migrated into the Manchester area or into London or Britain, and for the libtards who agree that these Muslims should be there. It's interesting.
These Muslims, they've got these Muslims, poster boy Muslims.
Right.
Oh, we are so appalled by this. We would never do anything like that. That's a radical element. They're not of our people.
What about 9/11? Wasn't that blamed on Muslims? Right? Now all of a sudden the Muslims are good guys?
Man.
Okay, the scenario... who do you blame?
Yeah, we're good people. Just let us rape your daughter.
That's right. That's right. So who do you blame? You know, this amorphous terrorist that's neither Muslim nor Jewish. Well, nor is it neo-Nazi. Well, who is this terrorist that everybody's so damn afraid of?
The shadowy figure.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's a non-existent terrorist, folks. It's a shadow created by the Jews. They hire anybody they please.
You can't put an operation like that together.
Oh.
It's got to cost billions. Without a massive amount of cooperation from certain people.
That's right.
Crisis actors.
Yep.
They had blood streaks all across the floor. That's fake.
That's fake, with
cameras, a crime scene like that, nobody's ever, the building would have been cleared, only the police would have been in there.
Yes.
Nobody with a camera would be allowed to film.
Yeah, not civilians, right? Yeah, right.
I mean, it's bogus. It's absolutely straight up.
It's
bull.
It's propaganda. But real people die because that kind of propaganda is more effective than when nobody dies, right? Okay. So that's the terrorism that we have today, folks. It's staged. It's absolutely 100% staged terrorism by you-know-who, okay?
Well, the biggest terrorists in the world were the Jews who were trying to establish the bandit state of Israel.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
They were so absolutely horrible.
Right. And because we know the Jews and what they really are, that no Jew would ever dare debate us. We would just tear them right apart. We would expose all their lies. They would have a chance. That's why the name calling starts as soon as the word Christian identity or